Title: Another COVID-19 Enforcement Tool, Money Laundering Law. Content: This article originally appeared on Law 360 on June 9. The novel coronavirus and resulting global health pandemic and economic crisis created a perfect storm for bad actors to engage in fraud and financial crimes. Law enforcement's response to the criminal activity spurred by the pandemic and economic stimulus and relief efforts are still nascent and focusing on low-hanging frauds by individuals and small groups. As these investigative efforts mature over the months and years ahead, the U.S. Department of Justice will look to a variety of criminal enforcement theories to hold accountable those who engage in wrongdoing, whether related to the Paycheck Protection Program, COVID-19-related medical care, tests, devices, and personal protective equipment, or other aspects of the pandemic and response. And among those theories we should expect to be employed, money laundering. While originally intended to address organized and drug-related criminal conduct, white-collar and fraud prosecutors have increasingly turned to the money laundering laws and their enhanced criminal penalties to more severely punish white-collar offenses. That trend begins with three criminal complaints against several individuals that alleged COVID-19-related healthcare fraud that were unsealed on May 27 in Phoenix. In one of these complaints that charges Jeremiah Faber, the CEO of Harmony Healthcare LLC, the DOJ added a money laundering count under U.S. Code Title 18, Section 1957. We believe that this is the first COVID-19-related enforcement action that includes fraud as a predicate to a money laundering charge. And given that development, we explore how prosecutors may use similar fraud as a predicate to money laundering charges for COVID-19-related enforcement actions. Money laundering basics: as we expect to see more COVID-19-related fraud investigations and prosecutions, it is useful to understand how money laundering charges may be used by prosecutors to enhance their cases in COVID-19, PPP, and other fraud cases. There are two key statutory provisions governing money laundering: U.S. Code Title 18, Sections 1956 and 1957. Under the provisions of Section 1956, a person can face criminal culpability for domestic money laundering if the person must conduct or attempt to conduct a financial transaction, knowing that the property involved in the transaction represents proceeds of unlawful activity, with one of the following specific intents: 1. To promote carrying on the specified unlawful activity; 2. To engage in tax evasion or tax fraud; 3. Knowing that the transaction was designed to conceal or disguise. Details, nature, location, source, ownership, control, about the unlawful activity or proceeds, or 4. To avoid a federal or state reporting requirement, and the property must, in fact, be derived from specified unlawful activity. Under Section 1957, a person can face criminal culpability if the person knowingly engages in or attempts to engage in monetary transactions of greater than $10,000 with proceeds derived from specified unlawful activity. The specified unlawful activity, outlined in Section 1956, paragraph 7, and in Section 1961, covers a broad range of illicit conduct and includes various types of fraud. Put more simply, under Section 1956, a prosecutor may charge money laundering any time there is a crime that generates monetary proceeds from a specified unlawful activity with the intent to 1. Promote the criminal activity, 2. Engage in tax fraud, 3. Conceal the details of the proceeds, or 4. Avoid a reporting requirement. Or under Section 1957, all that needs to be shown is a transaction of $10,000? Or attempt with proceeds of a specified unlawful activity. It is the breadth of available intents, coupled with the long list of applicable specified unlawful activities, that permit prosecutors to charge money laundering in a wide variety of white-collar cases. Why would a prosecutor add money laundering counts to wire fraud or mail fraud case? Because there are significant criminal penalties for Section 1956 violations? Imprisonment up to 20 years and a $500,000 fine, or twice the amount involved in the transaction, whichever is greater. For Section 1957 violations, the penalty is up to 10 years imprisonment and monetary fines, or both. These penalties are more severe than those for other financial crimes, many of which, like conspiracy, have 5 years.